we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a clipping from the Times read by Peter Donaldson.
Elizabeth Taylor returned to Britain for the first time in 7 years yesterday and said that it was only quarantine laws that had kept her away.
Thanks to Sue Adams of Brighton for sending that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, on my right, Andy Hamilton and John Sargent. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, why is the jury still out?
Well, I presume this is Jack Straw has announced trying people by jury is very expensive and time-consuming. And so he's proposing that certain trivial offences be tried in the magistrate's court in front of three magistrates. And the criteria for this seem to be that A, that the offences should be trivial, and B, that the evidence should be overwhelming. My own view is that the way to overhaul the judicial system is to bring in the Pools panel and let them decide. I think that would be much faster.
He tried to get round this by bringing in a law that says you could go to jail on the evidence of a police officer, but this didn't actually work because juries sometimes don't believe the evidence of police officers because it's largely untrue. Well, I say it's untrue. I mean, it's not wittingly untrue, it's unwittingly untrue. It's just sort of high spirits, you know. Jovial fabrication of evidence.
But it's a great idyllic picture of a trial, isn't it, where someone stands up and he says, right, we now hear the case of, you know, Crown versus Hardy, and someone stands up and says, the evidence is overwhelming, my love, and sits down again and says, right, that's all I need to know. 10 years.
Yes, it was Jack Straw's decision to curb defendants' rights to trial by jury for certain crimes. The Home Secretary said judges were far better placed to decide on the innocence or guilt of an accused person based solely on the facts of the case or which lodge they belong to. So, 2 points there to Andy. John, who gave a resounding yaboo to Yahoo?
I know what this is. This is the Israel's Tony Blair. Apparently he doesn't speak very much, and he plays the piano, and he has dressed up as a woman for undercover operations. It's not that like Tony Blair, is it? But he's now the Prime Minister of Israel, and Tony Blair is very pleased about this.
That's right.
If he dresses up for undercover operations, then he can enter the Eurovision Song Contest, can't he?
But he is Israel's most decorated soldier. He's had 6 coats, apparently. His face is all pebble dashed, and that's a ridiculous joke. I'm ashamed I said that.
Israel's voters swept Labour to power over Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party. It was the first landslide in Israel not to have been caused by a bulldozer on a Palestinian housing estate. All of Europe's leaders have welcomed the change. Tony Blair said he'd do everything he could to bring lasting peace to the area, at which point all the employees in the Tel Aviv Chinese embassy ran straight to the air raid shelter. Jeremy, where have differences of opinion continued to crop up?
It's crops, yes? Crops meaning GM crops, and the government's got a new committee under the unbiased stewardship of Lord Monsanto. What worries me about it, they keep saying, oh no, this stuff's all kosher, but the monarch butterfly I was reading is being killed by the pollen, because what the scientists, the GM scientists, haven't cottoned onto is that pollen actually moves. They put a nice crop down one, they water it in, and they put a little sign up saying, insects please keep out, and then they go to bed, and they come out in the morning, and wouldn't you know it, the pollen has blown around all over the place. Which is why we have expressions like the pollen count. I suppose they presume that the pollen count is where people catch pollen and wring it and release it again into the, into the wild.
Where is it? Some of these crops are being pumped full of dangerous chemicals grew after a genetically modified carrot was spotted partying in Cannes with Tom Parker Bowles. Alan, your piece of music. Europeans by Jacques Santerre, which election campaign was launched this week in a blaze of apathy?
There's a new election campaign for a new president.
No. It is a European question, but it is another election campaign.
You just proved I've wasted the whole of my week. European Parliament elections, Alan. How many times have I told you? Incredibly important. Amazing. Our whole lives will depend upon this.
Who is voting? Are we supposed to be voting?
We all get a vote, but they put a leaflet through the door telling you how to vote, didn't they? And they say you put a cross. It came through this morning. You put a cross in a box, and Tom Parker Bowles said, "God, this looks really complicated."
Any leaflets? I have leaflets about fencing, and there's some new doner kebab places open. There is a woman who will give me a rub down with sandpaper.
It actually took place this week, did it?
I'm sorry, John.
It will take place on June the 10th. Just follow the crowds.
We're in the common market.
Right.
But you lose the will to live when anyone says European, don't you? You just think, oh, fish, oh, God.
Not yielding up our currency and having those strange coins, is it?
Yes, it's about the new metal money that we're getting.
What happened to those £2 coins?
No, you've
still. My daughter threw one in the bin because it didn't have chocolate in it. I haven't... I haven't seen one since.
Your daughter's about 25.
But I keep her under my thumb. I spank her when she doesn't go to dentist.
With regard to the single currency, Tony Blair is saying, wait and see. Or as John Major would have put it, read my lip. I'll give a point to Jeremy for knowing the answer and a point to John for telling us what it was. So the scores at the end of round one are... Alan and Jeremy, 3. Andy and John, 5 points. Andy, who was next in line for a royal ear bashing?
Was this Tom Parker Bowles' story?
Yes.
Well, I'd just like to issue a bit of a warning, really, because this is every parent's nightmare. You raise your child, the apple of your eye, he enters adulthood, and he's at a party one night, and someone comes up to him and offers him a job in public relations. There are signs that apparently you can look out for. Babbling nonsense at high speed is one. Always being very excited. And I felt rather sorry for him because Prince Charles supposedly rang him up. On what basis does Prince Charles tick off Tom Parker Bowles? What does he ring up and say, this is your step...
She's got her.
Mum's...
I think he was trapped.
Long time bloke.
It just occurred to me that the phone must have gone. At the other end, somebody said, this is Charlie. And he said, fine, send round 200.
No, Charles is his godfather. So he phoned up and said, you're bringing disgrace on my family. But his job was giving out T-shirts at the Cannes Festival, I read. Which is seasonal work, but rewarding.
Did you grasp the family motto, dare to be wise? Well, that was not good. Instead of your daft brush.
So what about poking your business into other people's noses?
We ought to do it sometime, just for old time's sake.
2 points to Andy. John, who is trying to declare cricket fans caught out.
Ah, this is an incredibly cunning plan to increase the number of illegal immigrants. The official line is that this is to make sure that people who come from India or Sri Lanka for the world cricket competition should be tested in these countries before they come for a temporary visa to make sure they're not illegal immigrants. So you can imagine when they go for their interview and they're expecting quite tricky questions about convictions and how many times they've peddled drugs and that kind of thing. And instead, the official says, well, I want to get to the crux of all this. What does LBW mean?
It won't work like that because, let's face it, it's English people posing the questions to Asian people, and the question is, what do you know about cricket? And, of course, the Asians will say, well, let's face it, we're a lot better at it than you are. And the immigration official will say, I'm sorry, I'm afraid that's the wrong answer.
Even at the grounds themselves, hopefuls were asked questions like, how many balls in an over? How does the fielding side successfully complete a run out? How many runs are there in a century? But the England cricket team couldn't get a single one. Jeremy, listen to this. Poetry in motion, dancing close to me, a flower of devotion, a swaying gracefully. Oh. Jeremy, which poetic appointment caused something of a commotion?
I think I know this. They need to get a new poet for the Queen. And someone has to sort of follow around scrawling doggerel down for it. So they've got a new poet laureate who is going to be the unfortunately named Andrew Motion, who is apparently a professor of writing and stuff at the University of Harwich. And he's supposed to be a compromise because they were torn between Pam Ayres and Linton Kwesi Johnson. They went for this bloke, Andrew Motion, who's just some posh boy who writes poems.
Well, nightmare was that he was going to be the People's Laureate. They're still describing him as the People's Laureate, which means he has to do a poem in celebration of anything that happens to anybody.
No,
so
he's
Mrs.
been
Hinchcliffe
practicing.
Has that terrible boiler in ear again, he's got to whip up a sonnet. Or if three number 11 buses come together, you're looking at a major epic from Mr. Motion.
Andrew Motion's most famous poems are Lines on the Death of Philip Larkin and Lines on the Death of Ted Hughes. He is not thought to have been a popular choice with the Queen Mother. Two points to Jeremy. Alan, whose new coat cost £2,800?
Is this Sophie's coat?
It is.
They're embroidering Sophie. It's rather like tupping a Welsh lamb. Once you know it's been covered, you have to tattoo something on its bum so nobody else goes near it. And
she had to have a coat of arms, though, because otherwise she'd just be a bit of taffy rough, wouldn't she? Let's go.
Oh, I don't know. Fionnhaig isn't.
Sophie Rhys-Jones's family have been forced to pay for a new coat of arms after discovering the one they'd used for 200 years wasn't officially recognised. The family will retain its old motto, hateful the man that loves not the country that nurtures him. A patriotic sentiment echoed in the royal family's own motto, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. The end of round two. Scores are Alan and Jeremy with 7, but Andy and John clinging to the lead with 9 points. We start round three with a cutting from an in-flight magazine for British Regional Airlines.
British Airways has added more seats to its Southampton to Edinburgh service, leaving Southampton at 10:50 a.m. and returning from Edinburgh at the beginning of March.
Thanks to Gerald Walsh of Birmingham for that. Andy, why is it major news that he's not heavy? He's my half-brother.
John Major, God bless him. He's found a long-lost half-brother. John Major and his brother, Terry
Major
Buffoon, have tracked him down, and it's all going to be in John Major's book.
This half-brother clearly hasn't wanted to get in touch with John Major for 54 years. I mean, you must know about him.
Maybe not, because I read...
You mean he didn't see him? He didn't notice him? He hadn't made enough of an impression in the world? This bloke was, that's my half-brother, John Major.
But you see, it's quite possible he didn't know he is, because it is a fact that one of the reasons that our mental institutions are so full at the moment is that when you're being assessed for psychiatric purposes, one of the questions they ask you to see if you're in touch with the real world is, who is the Prime Minister? And during John Major's reign, thousands of people couldn't answer that question. And got put away. So it's quite possible he didn't know that John Major was the Prime Minister.
It's a bit difficult for me because, of course, John Sargent reporting on John Major...
Yeah. John, listen to this music. Do what you like. Please don't keep me waiting. Please don't keep me waiting. Because I'm so tired, tired John, whose theory of bus travel has pushed its way to the front of the queue?
Ah, yes. This is the man who's been studying why the buses all turn up at the same point. It's extremely simple. What happens is that the bus gets caught in the traffic, so more people are waiting at the bus stop. They then climb very slowly onto the bus, and by that time, the next bus is coming along. This is why all the buses come in groups. And a professor who studied this for 20 years was then asked, what can be done about it? And he replied, nothing.
Are we doing the story about the people and the bus shelter?
No, but you can do it now if you like.
Oh, there's just these people that went ballistic and they went to court because they've got a 17th century cottage and the council put a bus stop outside their house. It was one day a bus appeared up the lane and they said, my God, public transport, call a constable at once. And they got the local hounds to try and chase the bus and tear it apart and smear the diesel fuel over a child's face.
I thought we were going to do that one about the story in Bodmin this
no.
week. About they built a bus shelter after the village had canvassed for years to have a bus shelter so they didn't all get wet. And they built it to the right of the bus stop. And the villagers all queued on the left of the bus stop and got wet because they'd always queued on the left of the bus stop. Then moved the bus stop to the other end of the shelter so that people would queue under it, by which time a lot of people had learned the bus stop was at the other end and it had a sign saying, please queue on the right. So they all queued on the right with the bus shelter away from them. One of those villages that you know so well, where everybody has the same name and a strange dropping eye. And the bus doesn't want to stop very much, especially at night.
Well, the sad thing is that the bus of Bodmin is a myth and doesn't exist at all.
It's just a large van.
Professor Tony Wren of Leeds University has produced a scientific explanation of why you wait 45 minutes for a bus and then three turn up. Having solved this problem, the professor now intends to work out why the loony on the bus is always the one who sits next to you. Jeremy, your question. Why have Manchester police been keeping abreast of the times?
Awful story, really. This woman complained of shooting pains, which is not uncommon in Manchester. But the reason was that she had... This is terrible. She actually was so desperate to be a copper that she had her breasts reduced so that she could wear body armour, which is why I had to give up professional cricket. Because
Surgeons say that after breast reduction surgery, women become much more aware of their bums. For example, Pamela Anderson has just remarried hers. Alan, why will you need to take two classical scholars into the shower?
There is an EC regulation that all cosmetics must now be described in Latin, because the EC, being what it is, decided to use a language that nobody understood rather than stick to a sensible one like English or indeed even German.
One of those who were trying to justify it said that you'd save thousands of lives if you knew what arachis hydrogena meant. It means peanut butter, peanut oil. So perhaps through this broadcast, we might be able to save lots of people who have an allergy to peanut oil.
Maybe a strange world that John Sargent lives in. He seems to think people listen to the news quiz with a large bottle of peanut oil in one hand. I think it's an entirely different programme.
I thought we were doing a programme called Can We Help?
No, we're doing a programme beyond help.
You'd only want to oil a peanut if you couldn't get it out with tweezers, wouldn't you?
What if the product is already named in Latin? What are they going to do then?
They'll have to rename Tampax, won't they? Such a piece.
Is that what it means?
Yes, it's Latin.
Quam in belli Tampax.
Means?
It means if you have a qualm in your belly, then there's...
Manufacturers are angry at the new EU directive, and they're also worried they'll be unable to fit the sell-by XXICDIVIIIX on the label. And the scores at the end of round three are Alan and Jeremy 12, Andy and John just 1 point in the lead now with 13 points. And before we start the final round, here's an item spotted on CFAX.
A special anti-streaker squad will be part of the security arrangements for England's World Cup game against Kenya. Six of the 115 stewards on duty for the match at Canterbury have been given a special brief to stop streakers.
Thanks to Stephen Brindle Guildford for that. Andy, your music. Andy, which nutcrackers had mixed reviews?
Well, this is that familiar situation for people. You know, the thing you dread, isn't it, on a long haul flight is that you're going to be there a long time and sitting behind you there's going to be a load of ballerinas. And this nightmare came to fruition because the Royal Ballet were on a plane and a punch-up started. I mean, you know, it was the usual stuff. You know, the ballerinas were saying that their airline food, the portions were too big. Or maybe they, you know, you can listen to the music on the headphones. They might have instinctively started dancing.
Pirouetting.
That's a safety problem, I think.
What I've noticed though on aircraft is that if you jump up and try and bang your ankles together, it does cause a bit of trouble.
That's make the stewards feel very butch though when you've got a load of belly dancers.
On landing at Heathrow, one of the ballerinas said she'd face some very tough questions from officials, such as who was England's top scorer in the second innings of the... John, which bridge in Doncaster crosses a political divide?
It's a really interesting question, this.
Good. Well, 2 points to you.
Right, this is all to do with William Hague's aunt and Alistair Campbell's mother, right? And they've got together in Yorkshire, because they think they've got something in common.
Well, they play bridge together.
They play bridge together, and they don't talk about politics. And William Hague's aunt once won £800,000 on the lottery, and would you believe it, what did she spend £10,000 on? She gave it to a charity in order that she could appear on Call My Bluff with Alan.
I've passed £6 of that money on to the charity.
His administration costs are very high, aren't they?
So, 2 points to John. Jeremy, whose research into accidents in the home turned out to be a seat-of-the-pants exercise?
I don't know.
Trouser accident.
It's a trouser accident.
4,558 accidents a year are caused by people pulling their trousers on too quickly. Also, also results in 4,458 suits for adultery, I think you'll find.
Well, most of the accidents are with zippers, and men, yes, we will all know that. A moment's haste, a lifetime's regret. I've got to say.
But the other rather strange figure they had was the accidents involving vegetable matter. And apparently
did peanuts figure?
Apparently people put vegetable matter up their noses. It's carrots that you've got to be careful of.
So you turn up at casualty and you say, I was standing near the vegetable rack trying to put my trousers on. Fell forward onto two carrots which were pointing at a 45 degree angle, and while I'm trapped there, my hamster runs into the kitchen.
Or according to Andy, you ring up and say, I pulled my zipper up a bit sharp, as you'll never guess what I've got up my nose.
One ray of sunshine there in this survey. They got the number of accidents in one particular category were down by 50%, and that was accidents involving tea cosies. They were down to two, and they didn't give any details.
The thing to remember about tea cosies, they're more frightened of you than you are.
Alan, for whom was taurine scoring a sore point?
This is a bull who had acupuncture. This bull serviced a vast number of cows.
as a result of which he became extremely uncomfortable. They put all these needles in, and before you knew it, Bob's your uncle.
I've had acupuncture for my bad back because I slouch, because I'm left-wing and we always slouch in a rather gnarled way. And all radical posture. And I went to the acupuncturist and she just got this long needle and went, "Stand up straight, you dirty bastard!" What I liked in this story was they said that he just kept... Because he was young and inexperienced. You see, an older bull would be mature. He'd just saunter up to a heifer and say, "I could buy you a little flat in town." Because he was young and inexperienced, he just ran up to all these cows one after another saying, "I've just come out of a relationship and I don't think I should be alone tonight."
Before revealing the exciting final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from the Loughborough Echo, and it's a football report. It's on the game between Shepshed Dynamo and Stourbridge, which Stourbridge won 3-0. But the Shepshed Dynamo manager was quoted as saying that he was disappointed to lose the last game of the season and said, apart from the goals, Stourbridge never looked like scoring.
John.
This is a letter to the Goodwood Golf Club newsletter. It's from a woman member of the club who says, "I recently read the letter from the gentleman who wrote about poor behaviour on the course. He should realise that his Victorian values are of an age long past and women have equal rights on the course to men. Indeed, I look forward to the time when there is no such thing as sex on Goodwood Golf Course."
Jeremy.
This is sent in by Valerie Thompson from Whitney in Oxfordshire, and in a piece advertising the Evergreen Social Club for the over 55s, it says, "An especially welcome opportunity for those members without cars or without easy access to a life."
Alan.
Well, mine comes from a book review in the Lady Simon. It says, 2 years after Albert's death, however, the Queen's spirits seemed briefly to lift when, in 1863, the Prince of Wales married Benjamin Disraeli.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Alan and Jeremy with 16, but Andy and John clinging to their well-deserved lead with 17 points. With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Curran, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and John Sargent. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.